Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Man, it's a relatively common thing today, but when Elijah done it, nobody had ever been raised from the dead. This was miraculous. And then he called fire down from heaven, caused a revival, made the king submit to him, outran a chariot, ended a drought. And you know what happened? He got to thinking, I am somebody special. Nobody had ever called fire down from heaven before. Nobody ever raised somebody from the dead. I'm better than my fathers. He took his attention off of Jesus, off of God, and began to start thinking it was his own power, his own might that had done this. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The moment you get to patting yourself on the back, the moment you start reading your own press releases, you are in trouble. The moment you start believing the things that you write about yourself and other people write about you, you're in trouble. And Elijah got to thinking, God, I've done things nobody else has done. And when you take your eyes off of Jesus, did you know what? You're only a man or a woman. It's like flying in an airplane. People say, man, I'm flying 500 miles an hour, 30,000 feet. You are not. That plane is flying 500 miles an hour and 30,000 feet. And it's your relationship inside of that plane that gives you the ability to fly. If you don't believe it, step outside and see what'll happen. It's not you flying. It's not you that's causing people's lives to be changed. It's not you that's doing all of these things. It's God inside of you who's doing it. And if you ever take your attention off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you are headed for a fall. And Elijah didn't have patience. You know why? Because he got caught up in pride. Because success ruined him. When he was back there in Zarephath, and it was all he had done is prophesy a drought, and now he was hiding for his life. It was in a dangerous situation. And you know what? He sought God every day because it was a life and death thing. He hadn't fulfilled anything yet. But after he had done what God told him to do, after fire fell out of heaven, after a person was raised from the dead, and after all of these things, Elijah got to feeling like, man, I have really done something. And he took his attention. He lost his utter dependency upon God. Man, I wished I had days to make this point. Because this needs to be made. We are so independent. We are so into self. We are so self-sufficient. It's like, oh God, you just get me introduced and I can handle it from here. You get me on the stage and I can take care of it now. Man, we need to get to where we are so God-dependent, like Moses. God told Moses, I will be with you and I will deliver you. And Moses' response, he came back, Exodus chapter 32, and he says, you're going to be with me. He says, if you aren't with me, I'm not moving. He says, I was taking that for granted. I want more than just the promise that you're with me. He says, if you aren't going with me, I'm not moving. Boy, you need to get to that place. God, I'm not going to take a step until I know that you have told me to take this step. You need to be God-dependent. And some of us are in trials, in crisis. But then as soon as things start going good, as soon as the recession is over, all of a sudden nobody starts seeking God with the same intensity because you were only seeking him to get out of the recession so that you could get your needs met. As soon as you get your car, as soon as you get that house that you've been believing for, as soon as you get over being sick, then we go back to doing our own thing and all of a sudden you begin to sink. You've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You don't operate in patience. And you only last for a time and then you faint in your mind because you didn't continue with the same intensity. Somebody dies and all of a sudden you take your attention off of Jesus and what he said and you get to looking at your hurt and pain and thinking about this and you begin to sink. Your business fails and all of a sudden you get to thinking about this and you begin to sink. You're going to have to get to a place where you just are fixed on Jesus and you are not going to look to the right hand nor to the left. You aren't moving from one side to the other. And the only way I know how to do this is to sit there in the Word of God. Jesus said, these are the scriptures that testify of me. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. You've got to stay in the Word of God. And if you don't have a crisis, and if it's been 10 years since God gave you a major direction, you just stay in the Word of God and keep your attention. You're waiting on Him like a waiter who looks at somebody, and maybe it's been 5 minutes since they've asked for anything, but the moment they want something, you're right there because you were waiting, you were looking, you were paying attention. God doesn't speak to you every day. He does in the sense that He says, I love you, and He gives you guidance. But I mean, it's not going to be one of these major directives. It's not going to be a life-changing word every single minute of every single day. There's going to be times that you sit there and go long periods of time just by faith, studying the Word and doing what He told you to do last, and just keep doing it until He tells you to do something different. I'm amazed at how many people God told them to do something. There's people that God has told them to come to our Bible school. And He told them to come. And then after a short period of time and something happens and they don't get the job or this happens or that happens, and all of a sudden they say, I think God's telling me to leave. And I said, I think God knew it was a 2-year Bible school when He sent you here. Amen. But no, God led me here, and then now it's God leading me away. There's people that go to church and they say, God led me to this church, and in a few months, God's leading me out of this church. You know what? If God told you to do something, just keep doing it until He tells you to do something different. If God led you to that church, don't leave because you don't like something. God knew what that church was like when He led you there. Amen. Just keep doing what God told you to do. Elijah got caught up into pride, thinking, God, look what I've done. Took his eyes off of God, looked at himself, took credit for it, and he began to sink. And you know what? God tried to raise him up the way that He did Peter. He called him to Mount Sinai, and He had him come out and stand in the opening of the cave. And there were these three dramatic manifestations. A wind that was so strong it broke the rocks. An earthquake that rent the rocks. A fire that was so strong it melted the rocks. It was dramatic. And God wasn't in any of the dramatics. And finally, He heard a little tiny still voice. And it overwhelmed Him so much He wrapped His face in His mantle and went out and fell before the Lord. And God spoke to him in a little tiny voice. You know, some people are looking for God in the miraculous, in the spectacular, and you just need to get to where you listen to that still, small voice that's on the inside. And God spoke to him. And look at this in chapter 19 and in... I'm going to have to look up these verses. In verse 9, it says, He came hither to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and He said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? You know, if you remember the teaching I gave last night, God sent the provision not to where Elijah was, but to Elijah where Elijah was supposed to be, there. And the problem is that most people aren't all there. We're too much here. And so I talked about that last night. Well, Elijah was supposed to be there in Samaria, where there was a great revival. The entire nation had turned to God. They were looking for a leader. And their leader had run hundreds of miles away and was hiding from a woman with a note. And God says, What are you doing here? Elijah, you're supposed to be there. What are you doing here? And look at Elijah's answer. He says, Behold, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and also thy slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. That was a lie, and Elijah knew it was a lie. If you turn over to the 18th chapter, it says in verse 13, this is Obadiah speaking unto Elijah, and he says, Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? This is just a very short period of time before. A man said, Didn't you hear that I have saved 100 of the Lord's prophets and I've kept them alive for these 3.5 years, feeding them bread and water. He told this to Elijah. And here's Elijah saying, I'm the only one. It was a lie. He knew it was a lie. But you know what? It's exactly what many of you do. Many of you know that things aren't as bad as they are, but you go to feeling bad. Somebody said something about you, and before long, it's like that song, you know, that when we were little kids, we used to sing, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat a worm. Big ones, fat ones, little bitty, skinny ones, itsy bitsy, fuzzy wuzzy worms. Anybody ever sing that? There's some people raising their hand. But you know what? When you get hurt, you know that not everybody hates you. At least your dog likes you or somebody. But you know, it doesn't matter. It's just nobody loves me. Everything's going wrong in my life. It's not the truth. And you know it's not the truth. But that's what you feel like. And so you start saying it and you start feeling sorry for yourself and you get into depression. You say nothing ever works for me. That's not true. Again, I say we are the most blessed people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Kings in the past didn't have the conveniences and the luxuries that you've got. Like Pastor Derry and Karen were saying, man, we've all got flush toilets. There's people that lived their entire life and never saw a flush toilet. You're blessed. You got microwaves. You've got conveniences. You got cell phones. People are talking about, I'm so poor, and you got one of these $300 cell phones. But we just sit, no, I'm poor. I don't have anything. You know it's not true, but we go ahead and just indulge our emotions. I tell you what, when you do that, you get this Elijah syndrome, and it's wrong. You're headed for trouble. You need to get grip on reality and thank God that things are as good as they are. Praise God, it could be a lot worse.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU18 titled Run with Patience when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.